I didn't want everyone to know Sandy's on the front pew. When everybody came in to see me, Sandy was up walking around and said, "Where's Sandy at?" I said, "She's here." It is such a delight to be here together with you people once again and be able to worship our God. I've enjoyed it already so much. Lindsay, I appreciate that lesson. Blessed my heart. And thank you, ladies, for that song. I want you, if you would, turn in your Bible to the book of Ruth. This morning and this evening, the Lord willing, I want us to look at this book. Four chapters. This morning we'll try to look at chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then this evening chapters 3 and 4. I want to read one verse from chapter 2, and then we'll go back in chapter 1. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 3, "And she went," talking about Ruth, "and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." I titled the message, "It's Not an Accident." The theme of this book, this whole book, and especially Ruth, is about the kinsman redeemer. If someone had died and they'd lost their property or through whatever would happen, they'd sell it. Someone that was near of kin, because there were three qualifications for a kinsman redeemer. Well, first of all, he had to be near of kin. Then he had to be willing. He may be next of kin when he said, "Well, I'm not willing to do that." And then he may be next of kin and he may be willing, but then he's not able to do that. So you keep those things in mind. And here, it's amazing to me how that God, he remembers that we are just dust. It's like this morning in the lesson, the bond slave is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ becoming the servant to save his people. And here in this book, we have this story about this woman named Ruth who lived in Moab, and how she comes to meet a man named Boaz, and how they get married, and how all that comes about is a picture of us being Ruth, the outcast, the stranger from the covenant of promise, and Boaz being our Lord who redeems his people, buys back all that was lost in Adam. And what we see in this book is how God brings all these things together to make that happen. He rules and overrules everything for his glory and the salvation of his people. Well, what was going on at this time in the history of Israel? We see in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." Now, how was it in the days when the judges ruled? In the book of Judges, before this book, we have Gideon, we have Samson, we have Deborah, we have those people that were judges that God raised up. Well, and it's kind of ironic, in the last verse of the book of Judges, here's what it says. "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." What I see here, it was a dark time. And this pictures the day in which we live. Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. But what is amazing is in that dark time, when everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes, we're going to see from this book how God is arranging everything to come to pass to bring about King David, even in the midst of that time. We talk about the world when we see all these things coming to pass. Let me remind you of one thing this morning. Our God's on the throne. In these dark days, he's exalting his king, our redeemer. Okay, so verse 1 of Ruth. "It came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and his wives and his sons." Now we know Moab, they are the descendants of Lot, and that ancestral relationship with his two daughters. From those unions came the Amorites and the Moabites. And it's not just that reason that they are looked down on and despised in the scriptures. It is also because of the way that they treated Israel when they came out of Egypt. Remember, wasn't it the king of Moab who hired Balaam to try to curse the children of Israel? And God held them accountable. But those people, they were still a remnant according to the election of grace. They would, what I want you to see, they would be the most unlikeliest people that you would think that God would have any of his children there that he would save. When did this famine take place? Some believe, let me show you this in Judges chapter 6 in verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against him, and they encamped against him, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither for sheep, nor for oxen, nor for ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And what did God do? He raised up Gideon. So if that was the time when this famine came, Elimelech says, we're going to leave Bethlehem, Judah. Well, why are we going to leave? Now, you know, Elimelech came. He's of the tribe of Judah. Some believe that he's son of Nahshon, who was the great prince there in the wilderness. And then they had the son named Salmon. So he was probably a very wealthy, influential man. And he says, okay, there's a famine, so we're going to leave. Why in the world would you go to Moab? Why in the world would you go to the world? He must have thought, well, things look pretty good in Moab. So, and listen, he not only just went himself, he took himself, his wife Naomi, and their two sons, Malian and Chilion, and he packs up everything and leaves Bethlehem, the house of bread, and goes to Moab. Now you see the picture. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Malian and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. And you think about this. Here a woman with two grown sons, and her husband dies, and she's in a strange place with strange people. Read on. Verse 4, and they took those two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. I would say when Elimelech went down from Bethlehem, he never intended to stay there 10 years. You know, 10 years is a long time. And while they stayed there, Malian and Chilion died also, both of them. And now the woman, Naomi, is left of her two sons and her husband. All she has now is two daughters-in-law, who are Moabites. And I'd say everything's gone. She's a widow indeed. She has no one to take care of her. The Moabites ain't going to take care of her. They could care less what happened to her. But then verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. Why is she going to leave now? You think, why didn't she leave when her husband died? Why didn't she leave when her sons died? They died and they still stayed. Why? Why? When did she leave? We find out when she heard in the country of Moab. And I don't know exactly how far it is from Moab to Bethlehem, but it's probably a good distance. She heard. What did she hear? Here's faith. Faith comes by hearing. She heard how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. We can't stay here. If we stay here, we are going to starve. And this is how God brings people that he intends to save. He brings them to the place that they see that they have to leave where they're at. We cannot stay here or we'll perish. But she didn't just leave herself. Those two daughters-in-laws left with her. Why would they want to follow this woman that their only connection to that woman was because they were married to her sons? It doesn't say, but I think they saw something in Naomi. I think they saw something, how she dealt with it when her husband died. I think they saw something, how she dealt with it when her two sons died. And they watched her, and now that she's leaving Moab, they said, we're going with you. We're going to a place we've never been. We've heard about Bethlehem, we've heard about the Jews, but we're going to go with you. She had heard in the country how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. Now I want you to see this. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. She says, why don't y'all just go on back? Now religion would say, no, you don't do that. You want to do everything you can to try to persuade them and to trick them into going with you. She says, y'all, why don't y'all just go on back? The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They both said, we're both going with you. You can't make us go back. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? She asked them this question. And when you ask someone a question, they have to think about it. Why? Now you think, why are you going with me? Why would you follow me? I'm just a poor widow. I don't have anything. You've never been to Bethlehem. All you know about Bethlehem is what I've told you. Why in the world would you go with me? Now what's this? Are there yet any sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? She said, is that why you're staying? Because you think that I may can give you some more husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. I'm too old to have an husband. And if I should say I did have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait around for them? That's what she's saying. She said, would you stay unmarried till these boys are grown, and then marry? Then there's something there, because see, that was the responsibility. They would have raised up and they would have married these girls under the law. She said, would you wait on them? Is that why you're following me? You know what she's saying? I can't help you. I can't help you. That's what she's saying. I can't help you. I can't save you. I can't give you hope. What was those girls' hopes? They're widows. Their only hope was to have a husband that could deliver them and would love them and care for them and protect them. And they have none of that. She said, verse 13, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voice and they wept again. Now what's this? And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. She had an affection toward her. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, she looks at Ruth and said, behold, thy sister-in-law's gone back. One of those girls walks up and kisses Naomi on the cheek. She said, you've been a good mother-in-law. But I just think, after I've thought about this, I think I'll just go back to my people. what we see here, people can go for a long ways and then go back. But what about Ruth? Both of these women are sinners. Both are Moabites. Both are totally depraved. But Ruth, it said, she clave to her mother-in-law. She's heard the same thing that Orpah heard, but what makes the difference? What makes the difference in any case? It's the grace of God that makes the difference. God had singled this girl out. You think about this. He had singled this girl out. Her name's Ruth, and he's going to show her mercy. You think about this. What if she'd never come to Bethlehem? What if she'd never came? Well, she'd have never met Boaz. And I don't think by now, I don't think that Naomi's even told her about Boaz. She's acting on the light was given to her. And isn't that what we tell sinners? You act upon the light that God has given unto you. She said, your sister-in-law's returned unto her people, verse 15, and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. He's saying, you see her go back? Ruth, why don't you go back? You know what I thought about? I thought about our Lord. He turned one day and he said something and a lot of people left him. And he looked right at the disciples and he asked them a question. He said, will you leave also? Will you leave also? And I love this right here, what Ruth said. I see something's happening here. Something, I don't know, something's happening to this woman, Ruth. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't make me leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me also and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking to her. She was what? You know what that means, steadfastly minded? You're not changing my mind. Isn't that amazing? She said, your people. And she's never met her people. She met Naomi. You think about this. The only thing she'd ever saw of a Jew was in Naomi. You think about that. I heard Henry preach a message sometime and said, well, what if anybody ever saw about a child of God was you? What would they think? And I have to say, at times, oh me. But all they knew about Israelites was Naomi. And she says, your people's going to be my people. And your God's going to be my God. And where you die, that's where I'm going to die. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving. You know why? Because something she knew. Naomi couldn't help her, but she knew that if she's ever to find any rest, because she said, I want to seek rest for you. Naomi's got to be the one to show her. She's the instrument that God used. Verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come nigh to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Give you an illustration of this. Was over at Mark and Regina's last night, and they played an old video of Darvin Pruitt from back in the 80s. Now, if I'd have saw that and not seen Darvin today and saw that, I mean, he had his long black hair and his sideburns, very slim, very attractive young man, and then see him to now, you know, you'd go, is that Darvin? That's what they're saying. You imagine what it looked like when she left. She may have been dressed in a fine dress, and they had all these things. And now look at her when she comes back. She's weathered, and she's worn, and they go, is this Naomi? You look at Adam in the garden, and you look at us now, and you go, is that Adam? What's happened? Sin and death. Is this? Don't you know that that hurt in Bethlehem? I heard that Naomi's husband died. I heard that Malian and Chilion died. You know, I heard somebody say the other day they were coming back. I can see them kindly watching and see them start coming down the street and they go, man, she looks awful. I mean, I don't mean that wrong. She just looks tired and worn. That's what sin does. My heart didn't used to be this gray. Now it's not only turning gray, it's turning loose. But what is that? That's sin. Sin. And she said unto them, Naomi said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You know, we could spend all morning on that part of that verse. I went out full. Look at everything that God gave Adam, and we wasted it all. But she said, the Lord, who brought her home? Who brought her home? She said, the Lord did. The Lord hath brought me home. Do you think she was glad to be home? I think she was. After you've lived in Moab, you'd be glad to be home. He hath brought me home again empty. Why then ye call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Now, so Naomi returned, but she didn't return alone. What's the only thing that she brought back? One daughter-in-law. I can see her not have two nickels rubbed together. A Moabite daughter-in-law. She's a Moabite, and they know it. And they returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. This was an exciting time. This was a time of celebration. This was a time of gathering in the grain. This means we're going to have something to eat. And isn't it amazing that they just happened to come at the beginning of barley harvest? They just happened to come. They just planned it that way, didn't they? Like I said, it's no accident. So this is how, the reason I read that chapter, so you can see how Ruth wound up from Moab into Bethlehem. And she comes as a widow, no husband. And her and Naomi have nothing. Nothing. They're poor. And you know something? Nowhere do I see right here. I don't see when she came to Bethlehem that the first thing she did was look up Boaz. She didn't go to seek relief from Boaz. She didn't go to present her cause from Boaz. She didn't. And I don't understand why, but she didn't. And her and Ruth, they find them a place somewhere to be able to stay, just them two widows. Now, what are they going to do? How are they going to survive? Those are questions that you would have asked. This is a strange place to me, Naomi. What am I going to do? Well, it's the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter 2, verse 1. Here's their hope. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name is Boaz. She has a kinsman whose name is Elimelech. I mean, whose name is Boaz. So you'll know who Boaz is. Now, listen. This will bless your heart. Most believe Gil said that Elimelech and Salmon were brothers, sons of Nahshon. And you remember who Salmon married? You remember when they came out of Egypt? The first city they came to was what? Jericho. Who lived in Jericho? Rahab the harlot. Well, who married Rahab? Salmon did. So you know who Boaz's mother was? His mother is Rahab the harlot. Isn't that amazing? And he's their near kinsman. One of the next of kin. Now Naomi knows it. Now we see it. Now it comes up. because this is very important. Because you take Boaz out of the picture, they're all going to die with us. You take Christ out of the picture, and we're all going to die depraved with us, without any hope. You see the picture. He's a mighty man of wealth. He's a mighty man. Not only is he a prominent man, Gill said he's not only a man of wealth, material wealth, but he's wealthy in the scriptures. And verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after them in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of the corn in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Naomi, I think she's old. She can't go to the field and glean, but Ruth can. You know what I see here? She's not lazy. You know, in Proverbs 31:27, which describes the church, that's the virtuous woman. You know one of the characteristics of a virtuous woman, the church? She eats not the bread of idleness. They didn't just sit there and say, well, if God's going to feed us, he'll send us something. No, this woman, she says, Naomi, I'm going to go down the street. And I don't know one field from anybody else's field. And I'm going to ask them, because I'm a beggar, I'm going to ask them if you would let me glean in your field. Because God, I believe Naomi probably told her this, because God made stipulations under the law that when you gather the corn in a cornfield, you don't gather the corners. If something falls and it don't go into the machine, you don't reach down to pick it up. Why? It's for the poor and the strangers. And the poor knew that. They could go to the field and ask, they had to ask permission. Will you let me glean in your field? And what is gleaning? It's nothing more than walking around and you have to look down for something to eat. And you have to reach down and pick it up. And she says, that's what I'll do. Now this is not just for her, it's for her and Naomi. So here she goes. Every field looks the same. It's got reapers and there's people out there gathering corn in every field. Well, why did she just happen to come to Boaz's field? To her, you know that word happen, it means an accident or chance. You go, well, we know there's nothing happens by accident or chance. When she came that day, to her it was nothing more than an accident or chance. But we know that it was ordained. And I think she will eventually know it, but not right now. I can see her walk up to these people in that field and she says, would you let me glean in the field? Well, what if they tell her no? We only let Israelites glean in this field. We don't let Moabites glean in this field. And she just happened upon that part of the field. And she was probably out there all morning. We'll read this in just a second. And something happens. They're out there working, been out there in the hot sun. And verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. I can see Ruth saying, well, I wonder who that guy is. He must be somebody pretty important. Everybody showing him respect, and he's showing him respect. Isn't that amazing? She just happened to be in the field the day he showed up. You know what we have here? We have a picture. The field is God's church. The field is where God brings sinners, and they just happen upon his field. And just so happened that day, our Lord Jesus Christ, he shows up. And he manifests himself. Why did Boaz come to the field? You think he's a prominent man. Most people would say, well, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. He got his hands dirty. He got down to where they was at. He came to check on them. He came to see if they needed anything. He was going to see that they had it. These are his workers. They're his servants. But you know the main reason he came? The main reason he came that day was because Ruth was in the field. That's why. Now watch this. And he said, Boaz said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto the servants that was set over the reapers, who is this damsel? Now listen, Boaz knows everybody's in his field. He's not asking this for Boaz's information. Who's he asking this for? He's asking it for Ruth's information. You mean he's talking, that guy, he's talking about me? He said, who is that? And that reaper says, well, I can tell you exactly who she is. She's Ruth the Moabitess. And then here's what he said. And Boaz said unto the servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, and here's what he said. She said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and she's continued even from the morning, even unto now. And she tarried a little in the house. He's saying she's been here all morning. He tells her who she is, where she's from, and why she's there. That's why she's in that field. Why? She'd come there to glean. I asked you a question this morning. Why did you come to Boaz's field? Why did you come this morning? You may be a Ruth that God brought here on purpose. And you know what? You're just looking to glean something. Just something. Looking for something that was left. And it doesn't cost you a dime. And all she had to do was reach down and pick it up. Boaz speaks about Ruth. And the servants speak for Ruth before he ever speaks directly to her. And in verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, what a blessed day when God Almighty speaks directly to you and to you. You know, when the gospel becomes good news, when it becomes the gospel of your salvation. Here's how I picture Ruth. What they would do is, you know, it would be so hot and after gathering corn in the middle of the day, they would have the little shed over here somewhere, maybe just a makeshift thing, that they could get under and get out from under the sun. And I can see Ruth sitting over there because Boaz shows up, isn't that ironic, just at lunchtime. And they're sitting there over there under the shed, and I can see Ruth over at the other end of the table. I can see her sitting, they know that I'm a Moabite. They don't want anything to do with me, so I'm just going to sit on over here by myself and just be quiet. And I can see her when he calls her name. I can see her think in her mind, you think he'll make me leave? You think he finds out, he knows I'm Moabite. He ain't going to let me stay here. But he says, Ruth, hearest thou not what a kind word, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither goes from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Don't leave this field. The safest place to be is a place called God's field where the gospel is preached. And that's what he's saying. Don't leave this field. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. You can get you anything to drink. What is her response? And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why would you show mercy to me? Why would you even let me in your field? Why would you let me pick up anything from your field? Why would you do all this? Why would you allow me to be here? And she sees it, and she knows it, and she falls at his feet. Why would you show grace unto me that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Christ's eyes, if you're his eye has always been upon you. You just didn't know it. You think about it. I want you to see this. What is she learning here? She's learning a little bit about this man called Boaz. What is she learning out about the man called Boaz, who's a picture of Christ? Well, he's gracious. He's kind. He's tender. He said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. He's preaching the gospel to this woman. You see the effect it had. She fell on her face. Why would you show me mercy? Why would God be merciful to you? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother. She did what? She left her father and her mother and the land of thy nativity, and you are come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto. It's been told what you've done. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's who she's trusting. And you think about this. What if she hadn't come to the field that day? She'd have never met him. What if she'd wound up in another field? Just so you understand this. What if she's coming down the road and she sees all these buildings and they're called churches? And people that are lost, they don't know any different. They say, what? They all just look like a field. They all look like a church. Let me just go into that one. And it's not Boaz's field. And then they just so happen, by God's amazing grace, come into where the gospel's preached and just happen on his field. And out of all the people, like in this room this morning, he singles you out and speaks to her. She said, verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither. I asked you a question. Does she have right to eat at that table? He said, at mealtime you come to this table and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn and she did eat. It's like he gave it directly to her. And what's this? And she was sufficed. That satisfied her. And then she leaves. You know what she does? She ate. He fed her. And then she gets up. And what's she going to do? She didn't just say, well, I've gleaned all morning. I've gleaned enough. She goes right back to gleaning. Right back to what she was doing. Why? She's not just doing it for her. She's doing it for her and Naomi. And I want you to see this. And when she was risen up to glean, now she don't know anything about this, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. They never let them do that. He said, you're going to let her glean among the sheaves. She's not just going to pick the corners of the field. She's just not going to get what's left. Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And this verse 16 blesses my heart. And he said, let fall also some of the handfuls, handfuls of purpose. Who are they dropping them for? They're dropping them for her. Isn't that amazing? I thought about this a while back. You know, when you're gleaning, you may hunt for 5 or 10 minutes, but if you find one ear of corn. But you imagine when you get it by handfuls on purpose. It's like he gives you handfuls. And he said, this is just for you. Marcus, it's for you. I can see her gleaning and she comes up and here's a whole pile of corn. She says, where did that come from? It was just for you. You ever come to God's word And sometimes you struggle, and it's like gleaning. It's like you're trying to find something. Your soul needs something to feed upon. I mean, God is like all of a sudden just drops you a whole handful on purpose and go, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. And he did it for her. And he said, you leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Most Gil said that she gathered enough for her and Naomi both for 5 days. That's a right smart. For an old beggar, isn't it? Let me read on. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth. And she gave to Naomi of what she had reserved after she was sufficed. And she gave it to Naomi. Where did she get this? Lord gave it to her. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where in the world did you glean today? You don't glean and get that much in a day. Where in the world did you glean? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And as she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and she said, well, I really don't know much about him. They said his name was Boaz. Boaz? Can you see Naomi's eyes light up? Boaz, you know who Boaz is? Honey, do you have any idea who Boaz is? He's a near kinsman. That man is? That's who he is. You see here how God reveals himself to us. We come to his field and then he shows up and we have no clue who he is. We're so ignorant, so blind. And then God begins to show us who he is. You know what she's saying? That man who owns the field, who owns the grain in the field, who owns the reapers in the field, he's the kinsman redeemer. And he has the right, and he has the ability to redeem us if he will. You hear that? He has the ability. He has the means. If you will. If you will, you can make me whole. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, verse 20, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto him, this man is near of kin unto us. One of our next of kin. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said to me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all the harvest. She said, Naomi, he give me permission to come to his field every day. She gets up every morning and she don't have to be afraid. You think about this. She don't have to be afraid to go to his field. I'll ask you this morning, what do you have to be afraid of? I pray this morning as we've met to worship that our great Lord Jesus Christ would drop handfuls of purpose just for you. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. And they survived of what Boaz gave them. And this evening, if you want to read ahead, read chapters 3 and 4, and you'll see how that Boaz will redeem Ruth and all that was lost. And then he marries that old Moabite girl who just happened upon his field. Nothing happens by chance. Her showing up in Boaz's field that day will change the rest of her life and Naomi's life. And we look back at Proverbs and we see how things happened then and how it brought us here today. But when it happens, we don't see it. She's just out here looking for something to eat. You know what Spurgeon said? This blessed my heart. He said, among the sheaves, she's looking among the sheaves. You know what she found? She found her husband.